Breaking news, a new fallout and firings at a Virginia jail after two federal inmates, including one charged with killing a Wake County deputy, escaped.
A Raleigh police officer hits a man with his cruiser. Hear from a neighbor who heard everything happen.
A man jumps off the Person Street Bridge over the Cape Fear River and five Fayetteville police officers come to his rescue. We'll have details of the dramatic life-saving rescue.
The rain isn't over yet. Round two is on the way and it will impact your weekend. See how to plan around it.
Let's get started here at 7 o'clock. Thanks for being with us. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Deborah Morgan. Breaking news tonight, multiple employees at a Virginia jail have been fired. The jail superintendent says their mistakes led to the escape of two inmates, including the man accused of killing Wake County Deputy Ned Byrd.
Our Mark Boyle is in the WRL Live Center right now. Mark, what is the jail saying about what led up to this escape?
Human error is the key here. They say some jail workers did not do inmate checks. They lost count of Aldermarine Sotelo. They also, according to the head of the jail there in Virginia, left doors unlocked. This is where it happened in Virginia several weeks ago. The suspect there managed to get away, Aldermarine Sotelo, down to Mexico before he was captured and brought back. And so they're making some major changes. And this next graphic here, this is the new details here as we come on the air at 7. Five jail security guards out the door, fired tonight. Others demoted or disciplined because of their actions. Human error led to the escapes. That is what is coming from the head of the jail this evening. They're making some changes, including adding a lot more razor wire around the site and about 17 or so additional exterior locks to make sure things are in place. They're also upping the number of counts. They did not know these inmates got out for quite some time, so that was a major mistake as well. The superintendent, the head of that jail in question, has not been fired or lost his job, and according to the county leaders, he has their support. Back to you.
Some drizzle is possible here and there tonight as we look live at the radar right now, and more rain could be coming over the weekend. Meteorologist Mike Mays is in the WRL Severe Weather Center. Mike, what can we expect?
Well, it's looking like tomorrow evening and tomorrow night we'll see the next round of showers and storms come in. But in the meantime, as you mentioned, Deb, some drizzle and mist left over. I've turned up the sensitivity on the radar so you can see it moving from east to west, and it'll last through the evening hours. Overnight, we'll just look for a lot of clouds. That's one system that we dealt with today. Here comes the second one arriving Saturday night. So we do expect showers and some storms, but the better part of the day tomorrow is dry. Look at all that clear sky during the afternoon. Here comes the front. That's 4 o'clock. That's 7 o'clock. Moving into the area, 9, 10, 11, showers, maybe a thunderstorm. And it lasts off and on throughout the night. You see more rain coming by 4, 5, 6 a.m. Sunday morning. This model and other high resolution models have this moving through quickly. So if all goes well, the rain could be gone by 8 or 9 a.m. And we stop this at about 11 a.m. and we see the sun coming out. That means the remainder of the day could end up looking pretty good. Now, coming up in less than 15 minutes, we're going to check out the hour by hour rain chances for your Saturday night. When you're most likely to see that rain, it's coming up, Deb.
Looks like the timing will work out just fine. All right, thank you, Mike. Well, within the last 15 minutes, Gorman Street reopened after a police cruiser hit a man. WRL's Brett Neese joins us now live from the scene to tell us how that man is doing. Brett.
Deborah, according to family, his name is Donald Alston Jr., and police say that he's in the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, but we're working to learn the extent of what those injuries are. His daughter tells me he was trying to cross the street right here on Gorman Street. I want to show you this video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker to show you what this RPD cruiser looks like after it hit Alston Jr. You can see the cracked windshield there. Alston Jr.'s daughter tells me he was crossing the street to talk to her mother, who was in her mail truck. Police say that that officer was responding to a scene that was just down the road when he hit Alston Jr. A man who lives by tells me he had just stepped outside when this happened. And that man tells me that it was a loud bang when this happened, but now that the street is back open, we're working to learn more information about what exactly led up to this and who that officer is that was involved. As soon as I get an update, I'll pass it along, Deborah.
Brett Neese, live in Raleigh. Thank you, Brett.
There was a dramatic rescue today at the Cape Fear River in Fayetteville. A man jumped from this bridge. That's about 60 feet from the bridge down to the water. Our Gilbert Bays was there just moments after it all went down.
Well, things are quiet right now here at the Cape Fear River, but that wasn't the case earlier this morning. Police got a call that a man had jumped from the Person Street Bridge, and police jumped in the water after him. The call came in just after 9 this morning. Someone had jumped from this bridge into the Cape Fear River. Fayetteville police officers were first on scene. We're told five officers did not hesitate to jump into the water to make a dangerous rescue.
The current is strong. It's cold outside. It's already raining. And you have officers that are in full uniform that are trying to jump in the, that jumped in the water and rescued him.
Fayetteville firefighters from the Swiftwater Rescue Team also assisted in pulling the victim and officers out of the water. You can see some of the officers dripping wet, holding their shoes after leaving what was a very dangerous situation.
It can be a dangerous river, especially with the recent flooding. There's a lot of debris, a lot of logs in the water, and that current pushing against those logs can be really dangerous, so you got to be really careful when you go into the water.
The victim was rushed to Cape Fear Valley Medical Center. We're working to learn his condition. One police officer was also transported to be checked out, but we're told he's going to be okay.
We have good people, and their hearts are for our people, and this is what we do.
Now, the man was pulled from the middle of the Cape Fear River. They got him out before he got down to those logs underneath the bridge. Right now, the department's celebrating those officers who jumped in without hesitation. In Fayetteville, Gilbert Bays, WREL News.
Now, we don't know the specifics as to what started all this, but it is important for us to mention that if you or someone you know is in crisis, you can find counseling information and county-by-county resources on WREL.com. Just search Get Help.
We now know two people died in this huge fire in Charlotte. Both were construction workers working to install doors. More than 90 firefighters responded to the fire yesterday. They rescued 15 people. Two men did not get out. Investigators report the fire was an accident started by a truck spraying material at the construction site. The fire spread so fast because of the amount of exposed wood at the site. And an update tonight on the concrete truck that crashed through a hospital parking deck. Overnight, the crews brought in a crane and removed the truck. These are pictures from Moore Regional Hospital in Pinehurst. The truck fell through the deck yesterday afternoon. No one was hurt. Hospital officials say engineers are still there today assessing the damage and planning for repairs. For now, emergency department patients and visitors should come through the conference center parking lot.
Someone robbed a bank on Avon Ferry Road in Raleigh today. Police tell us this happened at a Truist Bank location. When you see in the video, they say the suspect handed the teller a note demanding money. The teller complied, and then the suspect ran off. They did not see a weapon, but it was implied, apparently, no one was hurt. Local leaders are telling us state lawmakers are poking their nose where it doesn't belong. A bill would have limited the ability of cities and towns in Nash County to bring in new property. After an uproar from leaders in Rocky Mount, state lawmakers are now changing that bill. WRL's Keenan Willard found out this whole controversy actually stems from a multi-million dollar development for a church.
On Wednesday, Rocky Mount leaders say they woke up to a surprise. A change had been made to Senate Bill 169, which was filed back in February and only concerned Davidson County. But new language added to the bill this week focused on Nash County. The bill would require towns and cities in Nash County to get approval from the County Commissioners Board for two things. Satellite annexation, where the city absorbs land that isn't connected to the current city limits, and rezoning for any of that land that gets satellite annexed.
And if this is taken away, then it'll take away our power. It's a power grab. And it'll be unprecedented.
Some Rocky Mount leaders came out against the bill. They say under North Carolina law, annexation is a voluntary process, and towns and cities typically don't have to ask the county for permission. They also say they weren't contacted about this potential limitation on their power. We took those concerns to State Senator Lisa Barnes, who added the language to the bill and is a former Nash County commissioner. Barnes told WREL she didn't discuss the change with city leaders, only Nash County leaders. She says she added the new language to SB 169 this week because she didn't have time to draft a standalone bill in March. She also said she filed the new language in response to community concerns over one particular project, a planned $25 million development from Word Tabernacle Church.
So we want to develop this complex into what we're calling Impact Point.
Pastor James Galliard's church owns 66 acres of land in the Westmount area, a mile outside of Rocky Mount. Since last June, he's been working to have its satellite annexed by the city to get access to utilities, planning to create a complex that includes athletic fields, workforce housing, and a wedding venue. Galliard says Impact Point was already approved for annexation into Rocky Mount this month, but SB 169 would seek to limit other projects like this in the future.
It's disheartening. I don't know that we've had a situation where a sitting state legislator deliberately, willfully, intentionally wrote legislation to hurt a church.
In recent months, 130 people living nearby signed a petition to city and state leaders to deny the annexation, saying their quality of life could be adversely affected by a change to a commercial environment. Galliard disagrees.
There's a logging business a quarter of a mile across the street. There's a cable provider almost a mile down the street. And so there's commercial all around us.
Keenan Willard, WRAL News, Rocky Mount.
Now, after WRAL started asking questions about all this, State Senator Lisa Barnes sent us a statement that reads, in part, Nash County sections are in the process of being modified to more accurately represent the intent of the bill.
Parts of eastern North Carolina are soaked after flash flooding this morning. The rain hit Brunswick County hard. The video from flooded streets in Wilmington coming up. And Governor Roy Cooper will appear on Meet the Press this weekend. We hear from Chuck Todd ahead of the interview.
Plus, your feedback on yesterday's in-depth segment. We'll revisit the math around EVs and gas taxes. That's up next. All righty, welcome back. I'm Dan Haggerty. This is the part of the newscast where we go in depth on topics and you weigh in. And I want to start tonight. Oh, I got to face the music tonight. I made a bit of a mistake. You see, we've been talking about electric vehicles, what it's like to own one, charge one, road trips, etc., as well as the true environmental impacts of building and powering a fleet of EVs in this state or in this country. And I was answering this question from Barbara, who asked, how do the EV owners pay for using the roads? You see, most of the budget to fix our roads and to build new roads, it comes from our gas tax, and EV drivers obviously don't buy gas or pay into that tax. Instead, they pay an annual fee, and I miscalculated the difference. Joe emailed me and said, I'm sure I'm not the first person to point this out, but you had the math wrong on your segment tonight. Joe, thank you. So let's try this again. The best numbers that we can find come from a DOT report in 2020, and it says that EV owners currently pay approximately $50 less a year than gasoline vehicle owners, with a revenue loss of anywhere between $10.7 million and $18.4 million in the state. And this assumes that the average person drives about 12,000 miles a year and gets an average of 22.7 miles per gallon. Now, keep in mind, since then, that 2020 report, the gas tax has gone up, and so has the fee for EVs. And while I don't have the current difference, we know that that revenue gap is still there because lawmakers are still looking for ways to close it. There was a viewer named Mary Jo who wrote me after seeing her question answered in last night's newscast. She said, I changed the channel for my favorite pastime of watching Jeopardy to see if WRAL's EV series would be featured today, and was rewarded. Mary Jo, thank you for your question and your follow-up. We sent Mary Jo's questions and concerns about the weight of EVs to state officials, and we got some answers. Now, you may not know this, but electric vehicles are much heavier than similar-sized gas vehicles, sometimes by thousands of pounds. And Mary Jo wanted to know if that was going to mean more potholes and more road work. Well, not according to Maria Lehman. She is the president of the American Society of Civil Engineers, and she doesn't think that heavier EVs will make much of an impact on wear and tear. I found an interview that she did with Capital One, the credit card company. I guess they're doing news now for some reason. Hey, Capital One, stay in your lane. That's kind of a transportation joke, too. Anyhow, she said roads and bridges are designed for a specific lifespan, typically 20 years for roads. As you put more and heavier passenger vehicles on a standard road surface, you're taking life out of it. Maybe it's not going to last for 20 years. Maybe it's only going to make it to 18. Basically, if you're looking to blame someone for potholes, don't look at the 8,000-pound EV. Look at the 26,000-pound dump truck instead. Hey, keep reaching out. Email me at dan@wral.com. This, after all, is your segment. I want your feedback. Hold me accountable. Let's dive deeper and help each other to learn a bit more about some of these important topics. Tell me what's on your mind, and we'll go in depth.
This weekend, we are set to hear more from Governor Roy Cooper after North Carolina passed new abortion limits. WRL's Lena Tillette spoke to Chuck Todd of NBC's Meet the Press about his upcoming interview with the governor.
Governor Cooper will be live on Meet the Press this Sunday, days after state Republicans overrode his veto on the abortions restrictions bill, which is now law. Meet the Press moderator Chuck Todd joins us now from Washington with a preview. Chuck, we imagine you want to talk to Governor Cooper about this, but what do you plan to ask him specifically? What at this point do you want to know?
Well, I think, you know, when it comes internally to North Carolina politics, you know, he's the head of the Democratic Party in North Carolina. He's not just the governor, right? He's essentially the head of the party. How'd you lose the party switcher? What happened? At the end of the day, maybe it's a little in the weeds, but, you know, that is the single most important thing that happened that created this situation. What could have been done? Was this missed? Did you not realize this relationship was not in a good place, et cetera? So there's that. But the bigger picture is, you know, what's next? And you know, here's a state that on one hand I've always thought North Carolina's a fairly evenly divided state, but it's divided in a polarized way. It feels like there's not many swing voters, that in many ways it really is a hard 45% on each side and a tiny slice of voters that vacillate between the two parties. It's clear the structure of the way gerrymandering works and all this stuff, it just makes this type of governance very difficult. You know, does he have any ideas of how to pierce through this?
Thanks so much. You can see Chuck Todd's live interview with Governor Cooper on Meet the Press this coming Sunday at 9 a.m.
Well, now look at the water filling the streets in this part of eastern North Carolina. As much as 10 inches of rain hit some areas. Cars were nearly submerged and neighborhood roads looked more like rivers. The Brunswick County Sheriff's Office responded to several calls of people stuck in the floodwaters. Many roads were closed as they waited for the water to recede. Meteorologist Mike May is joining us now in the WRL Severe Weather Center. Glad to see this light rain moving out of our area, but more to come this weekend.
Yes, this little bit of rain is coming to an end. It's drizzle and mist that'll last for a few more hours. And you can see it on the radar moving through Elm City right now, getting over to near Buckhorn Reservoir, Northern Johnston County, Emmett, Archer Lodge, seeing some drizzle show up on the radar, as well as Olivia and Barbecue, Tramway, all that moving through the Sandhills. And if you're going to be out and about, don't really think you need rain gear because it's not all that heavy. And this will last through the next few hours, and overnight we'll look at a lot of clouds. 69 right now at an RDU, 61 is the dew point. The Durham Bulls got a great crowd out there this evening playing the Nashville Sounds. After the game, they'll be treated to the Friday night fireworks. The displays are really, really cool if you ever want to go out on a Friday night. 67 in Fayetteville right now, 66 in Clinton, 64 at Roxboro, 68 at Rocky Mount. Our lows tonight will fall down into the upper 50s to low 60s. And out and about this evening, a 30% chance of drizzle and mist, 20% at 9, 10, and 11 o'clock. By 11 o'clock, we're about 63 here in the triangle. So this is the system that brought the heavy rain to the coast. Leland, 7.9 inches of rain this morning, just a big bullseye right over New Hanover, Brunswick, and Pender counties. Now that's tracking up the east coast. Tomorrow morning, we'll wake up to clouds. We'll have sunshine in the afternoon. And then this is the next system that comes in Saturday night. We showed that too at the top of the newscast, bringing showers and some storms. And the good news about this event, most of the rain's going to be falling while we're sleeping. Take a look at our hour by hour rain chances for Saturday night. By 7 o'clock tomorrow evening, going out to grab a bite to eat, 20% chance of rain, some showers in our northwestern counties by 8 o'clock, and then the rain chances go up. So from 10 to about 1 a.m., about a 50% chance for showers, maybe some storms, 60% 2 to 3 a.m. And the peak of the coverage of rain should be 4 and 5 a.m. You might even hear the rumble of thunder while you're sleeping. Some folks love that. I grew up in Miami and I love hearing the thunder at night as long as there's no severe weather, and there's none in our forecast right now. If there's a change, PETA will have that tomorrow morning starting at 6 a.m. And Amy Wilmoth is in this weekend for Anthony, and she'll let you know if there are any changes as well. The good news is this rain is not going to last, as we see it right now, too far into the day on Sunday. So drizzle and mist possible tonight, 60 in Raleigh, 62 Fayetteville, 58 in South Hill, 62 in Goldsboro. Got to BNC Festival tomorrow. It looks really good. At lunchtime, it's 76. By 4 o'clock, 83, mostly sunny skies. And then that front starts to approach, and by 8 o'clock, a small chance for rain, 77. So if you're going to head out to that art splosure this weekend and any of the other festivals we have going on Saturday and Sunday, again, most of the rain happens Saturday night. So for your day Saturday, we wake up to clouds in the morning. It may be an overcast in spots, but then partly to mostly sunny and warmer in the afternoon. Carve out some time to go to the pool if you have access to one. It won't be too bad. 83 in Raleigh, 85 Fayetteville, 83 in Goldsboro. Sunday is a little cooler after some morning rain, 76 the high. Then next week, the dew points, 40s and 50s. The air feels very good. Morning lows are in the 50s. Afternoon highs in the upper 70s to about 80 degrees. The only issue may be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We're looking at mostly cloudy skies. And the weather may end up being nice for the Memorial Day holiday weekend. Perhaps not hot this year.
That's great news. Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
One of Raleigh's fastest growing music festivals announces its lineup, who's performing at Hopscotch this year, and when the festival is set to begin. We'll tell you next. So we know now who is performing at one of Raleigh's fastest growing music festivals, Hopscotch, announcing its lineup today. Pavement headlines Thursday. Denzel Curry is on Friday. Japanese Breakfast is on Saturday, and other artists include King Krul and Margo Price. The festival begins September 7th. You can buy tickets now or find the full lineup online.
The American Cancer Society Relay for Life is happening tomorrow. It was rescheduled from last month because of weather concerns. WRL's Travis Fain will be the MC. The relay is at the Halifax Mall in downtown Raleigh. The opening ceremony starts at 5 p.m.
The Preakness Stakes is tomorrow, the second leg of the Triple Crown, happening in Baltimore, Maryland. You can watch all the action on the racetrack starting at 4:30 p.m. right here on WRAL.
Is it a busy weekend or what?
You said it.
Yeah.
It really is. And it's going to be nice out for at least Saturday morning. I'm going to have a good time.
Thanks so much for making WRAL your choice for local news.
Have yourself a great night. We'll see you back here at 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. Go Bulls.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.